If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Today we are going to be praying for and sending out Chris Szilard, who has been on staff at Covenant Life Church for 9+ years of fruitful pastoral ministry. We are sending him out with 85 adults and 75 children. Actually, that's a good ratio for us. 160 of our people to begin a church in Frederick County, 40 minutes north of where we are presently. Many of the people are seated here to the right and to the left. Why are we doing this? Why send out one of your finest pastors and his godly family when they have made and could continue to make a significant pastoral difference here at Covenant Life Church? Why say goodbye to over 150 of your people? Well, what we are doing today is participating in the mission that Jesus Christ gave to his followers when he left the earth. It is a mission with eternal significance. What we are doing today, God willing, will make an impact on that last day when he returns to the earth to claim his own. And it is this mission that is a mission with a promise, a very precious promise found in our text and actually highlighted by Frank this morning at the prophetic mic, at the prophecy mic, which he knew nothing about. And this promise is this, that as we participate in God's mission, as we are faithful to do what he has called us to do, he promises to be with us. He promises to manifest his presence with us, to encourage us, to empower us, to comfort us, and to guide us as we take part in this mission. Let's look at our text, Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." When Jesus began his ministry in Matthew 4, verse 17, he said he made the declaration, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And now, in verse 18 here in our text, he states, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." These statements serve to bracket his life and help us to understand the nature of who he is, his life, and his ministry, and his purpose on the earth. When Jesus came, God's kingdom came to the earth in a new and an exciting way. And by understanding who Jesus is and then responding appropriately, we can embrace one of the most meaningful promises that Jesus makes to his people while he's on the earth. The one found right here in our text this morning. And I want to share three simple points that I think amplify this promise and help us to understand why we are sending out this group of people today. And the first is this. Number one, our mission is to make disciples. Our mission is to make disciples. Jesus is king. He is the one with all authority. He rules everywhere and in everything. And the one with all authority is speaking, and he's giving us instructions, and he's giving the church instructions throughout the ages. And from his words, verse 18, he says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." What he commands us to do is to make disciples by living and sharing the truth of God's gospel. What is that gospel? Well, it is the history of who Jesus is. It is who he is and what he said. It is the background and the promise of God in this book that he made to the people of Israel long ago, that he would send a Messiah to this earth, and from that person's life and death, the entire universe would be blessed. The entire earth would be blessed. Every nation on this earth would be blessed. And Jesus Christ came in fulfillment of those promises. And he came and lived a sinless life, a perfect life, and died a death on a cross. Because he lived that sinless life, he was able to die a death in the place of sinful men and women like you and me. And when he did that, he didn't remain in the grave, but he was raised from the dead and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he has given us the message of this gospel to go and to take it into all the world and to tell others that every person on this planet must respond to this message. And how is this accomplished? How are disciples made? They are made as we simply communicate this good news. The gospel is shared, and we tell people, you must respond to who Jesus is. You must turn from your sins and believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And if you're here this morning as a guest and you have not done that, I want to encourage you. God has brought you here for a purpose. And you must respond to this message. Jesus Christ is the King of all creation. And if you do not know that and you've not turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to urge you this morning. Believe that he is the one whom God has sent. If you have questions about that, we'd be happy to answer them for you afterwards. Or you can talk with the person who brought you. But every single person needs to respond to this message. And when they do, they become followers of the King. And they live lives under his authority and for his glory. Because the gospel is a message that changes lives. And through it, God's kingdom can be experienced and taught. And that's how disciples are made. And as disciples are made, they must be, as we see in our text this morning, baptized and taught. And this leads us to point number two. The local church is God's chosen context to make disciples who then spread the gospel. Look at verse 19 with me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus commands us to make disciples who are then baptized and taught. And when we survey Scripture, we discover that baptizing and teaching, as Josh just mentioned, are to take place in the local church. That's the context. The church is the institution that Jesus Christ established on this earth and which he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it is in the context of the local church where elders can teach sound doctrine that shape and empower spirit-filled lives, where pastoral care can be expressed that guards and equips saints for ministry. It is the local church which is the context from which transformed lives can be built together into living stones in love. And it is the local church where the promotion of the gospel in both word and deed is most effectively communicated. The most effective and enduring gospel proclamation takes place from the local church, not people independent and isolated from the local church. Because every person who responds to the gospel needs to be joined to a local church where they can receive teaching and encouragement and accountability to walk in a way that is worthy of the gospel. In other words, where they can live out the life of a disciple, where those disciples that are made can then live. And this leads to the final point that shapes our mission and answers, why are we planting this church in Frederick today? And that's point three. Local churches that make disciples must be planted. Local churches that make disciples must be planted. In our text this morning, look again and note the word go. That is because you can't make disciples from afar. Note what Jesus tells his disciples in verse 19. Go and make disciples. God has chosen the local church as the context to make disciples, but this requires that local churches be planted to reach new people with the gospel. And so with this Frederick church plant, in a small way, we are obeying Jesus' command to go. Because in order to make disciples, people have to come to church and hear the gospel. And the church needs to get into its community. And we want the members of Covenant Life Church who live in Frederick to be able to invite their neighbors, their family members, their co-workers to a church in their own community. You know, there are some people, some of them who are seated here, who are faithful, who will drive 40 minutes and in some cases over an hour to come to a local church. But we cannot effectively reach Frederick County with the gospel from a church in Montgomery County. You know, when Chris Szilard, he sent an email around to his group of people that are part of this new church and asked them, why are they so excited about planting a church in Frederick? And William and Nakia Whitney, who came to Covenant Life in 2003, expressed gratefulness for many different things. They said, we have learned how to make the gospel central in our lives. We have learned about our biblical roles as husband and wife and father and mother. We've learned to understand what biblical fellowship is and how important it is to be good stewards of our finances. But what they said next really, I believe, expresses why we are planting this local church. They said, we're looking forward to having a local church. We're planning a church in Frederick, Maryland, one that we hope will be a thriving church in the Frederick community. We are planting this church as a sister church so that men and women whose marriages right now are on the rocks will have their marriages restored. We're planting this church so teenagers and singles and college students will hear the gospel in Frederick County. Now, God is already at work in Frederick. I want to make that clear. There are other gospel-proclaiming churches there. But, brothers and sisters, there are so many to reach. We are planting this local church because we believe that there are many in Frederick County to whom God has called to be in His kingdom. And it is our desire that this local church will grow and thrive and help us to plant many other local churches in the surrounding Washington, D.C. metropolitan area in the days ahead. We would like to see local churches planted around our entire metropolitan area. And it might be helpful if just for a moment I gave you a brief history of church planting at Covenant Life. You know, over the next few years, we believe and we hope that God has encouraged us to focus our planting in Washington, D.C. and in the metropolitan area. But I believe that many of you who have come maybe in the last 5 or 6 years are unaware of our history. And I want you to know that church planting is not some new idea. It's not something that we've just come up with as a new strategy, but it's been involved in Covenant Life Church from the very beginning. And so I want to just tell you a little bit, just a little bit about the churches we have planted since the beginning of Covenant Life Church. If you look behind me on the screen, I just want to tell you, in 1981, we had a pastor in this local church. His name was Steve Shank. And along with a team of people, we sent him to Cleveland, Ohio, where he planted and established a local church there. And from there, that church planted a church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, in 1987. And then in 1998, that church planted a church in Denver, Colorado. In 1982... there was a pastor here named Robin Boisvert. We sent him to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to establish a church there. He planted that, and then in 1990, because of God's grace, we were blessed to have him come back here. But that church is still there, thriving today. In 1984, Covenant Life Church had the privilege of sending a team to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and established the Covenant Fellowship Church there in Philadelphia. That church itself has planted 9 other churches around the northeastern part of the country. In 1984, we sent a team with a pastor from Covenant Life Church to establish a church in Los Angeles, California. And that church in 1996 sent out and planted a church in San Diego, California. And then last year, that church in San Diego planted a church in Dallas, Texas. In 1987, we sent our administrator to help work and establish a church in Franklin, West Virginia, Gene Emerson, and he then went with a group of people, partly from Covenant Life Church, to establish a church in Richmond, Virginia, in 1989. That church in 1992 planted a church in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then in 1998, we had the privilege of sending Tab Trainer and his wife, Sung, and Brian Chesmore to the Chicago area to establish Grace Covenant Church In the year 2000, we had the privilege, after sending him to the pastor's college, to send one of our care group leaders, who now is a pastor and senior pastor there, to Brecksville, Ohio, to plant a church there. In 2003, we had the privilege of, after sending him to the pastor's college, to send Mo Adunya and Wanda Gatawan back to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to plant Covenant Life Church in Ethiopia. And then in 2001, I just want to tell you, just want to go to a little different map here, just to see our region locally. Along with the churches in our region in 2001, we sent Bob Donahue to Ashburn, Virginia, along with members of Covenant Life Church and Fairfax, to establish Grace Community Church in Ashburn. And we saw that church, and we are seeing that church thrive. And we really have a vision for seeing churches planted in our area because of the privilege we have of seeing people in their local communities already established, how quickly they can grow into thriving local churches. And this year, in 2006, we have the privilege of sending Chris Allard and his family and a team from Covenant Life to plant Sovereign Grace Church of Frederick. That's just a brief overview. And you can see over the years that church planting has been a vital part of our mission. We've played a small part in seeing a number of churches planted. And some of these churches have planted other churches. But it is vital that we understand and keep before us that whether we go or whether we stay, the mission is the same. And I want to remind you, members of Covenant Life Church, particularly those of you who have been here for many years, and I look out here and I see a number of you. Maybe you have seen many or all of these churches planted over the years. You've participated in the building fund here, and this building exists for more people yet to come because of your sacrifice and your labors. I want to say to you and to all of us who remain that the planting of churches is made possible by the people who stay and send. And on behalf of your grateful pastors, thank you. Thank you. And by God's grace, this group of people that are assembled here and who will shortly be coming up on the stage are seeking to build a local expression of what Covenant Life Church has been seeking to be through all of these years. You see, they're going to reach Frederick County with the gospel. We're staying to reach Montgomery County with the gospel. They are going to reach their neighbors. You see, we are staying to reach our neighbors. They are going to raise up leaders for their local church and for the mission beyond, and raise up godly children for the glory of God. We are staying, and by God's grace, we will continue to raise up leaders for our local context and for the mission beyond, and to raise our children to the glory of God. And brothers and sisters, some of these folks are leaving big holes in ministry roles. I was informed by our link team that they're leaving 88 different capacities of serving here at Covenant Life Church. And some of us need to step up. 9 care group leaders, by God's grace, are leaving with Chris Allard. God bless you, Chris. What a wonderful testimony of grace. You see, what we're seeing here is that we have to rise to the challenge locally as well as they are rising to the challenge in Frederick. And as we have seen again and again, sacrifice in the local church brings God's blessing in the local church. And I want to call those of you who maybe don't feel quite so ready to step into those places of ministry to be ready as God calls you and as we call you as pastors. And we want to pray today that as we say goodbye to these dear brothers and sisters, to remember we're going to do this again and again. And by God's grace, these people in Frederick and this man will have the privilege of doing this again, of sending out their own churches from their local church. And here's the incredible promise that we find in our text this morning. The promise that encourages me that as we send out our dear friends, as they humbly obey God, God himself is going to be with them. That encourages me to know that God is going to be with you and your team, Chris. And that very same empowering presence of God is going to remain here with us as we seek to obey him. One of the ways that we can be informed is to hear about how God has worked in Chris's life here at Covenant Life Church. And he is going to come now and share how God has brought him to this place. In a moment, we will have the opportunity to thank Chris. So let's just listen now as Chris comes to share his story of how God has brought him here.
First, when I was first asked to share a few thoughts with you this morning, I foolishly thought this was going to be easy. Well, I was wrong. Wrong before. This is a day full of significantly conflicting emotions for me, marked by joy, but aware of all of you. I thought it'd be easy to talk to you because there's so much I can commend you for. There's so much I can tell you about in terms of how you've affected our lives, and because of all the joy I have in my heart right now for you, that's exactly why it's not easy. How do I tell you in a few brief moments how you have affected me and my family and those going to be part of this church? How do I tell you 24 years of history in just a few moments? Well, I can't. I can't do that. But here's what I thought would be helpful. I thought it would be helpful to look back at the way grace has made this day possible by telling you how we came here, how Covenant Life Church has affected us, and why we're excited about going to Frederick, Maryland. Listen, I want you to know this day is not just a sad goodbye to you. This day is a celebration of transforming grace and God's unstoppable plan. I first walked into a meeting of Covenant Life Church in 1982. That time I was engaged to Marie Brissette. And Marie joined me here a few months later. We were married in June of 1983. At that time, I was working in community recreation for Montgomery County government. I had no clear picture of my career future, no clear plans for my family future, and no clear grasp on the gospel of grace. But the moment I walked into that first meeting of a Covenant Life Church assembly in 1982, I did see a clear picture of authentic community being lived out in what seemed to be in keeping with the commands and priorities of the Bible. I didn't really understand it all back then. Listen, this is all I knew. I walked in, and maybe you've had this experience. I knew I was home, and I knew I never wanted to leave. Over the next 18 years, God blessed us with four wonderful daughters. I just have to keep looking at my notes. Such a blessed man. I had left the field of recreation and had been in two different sales positions from 1988 to 1996. Meanwhile, I served here as a care group leader and had led the pro-life ministry here in earlier years. And during that time, I learned so much from the pastoral team here. It's these men primarily who taught me, led me, trained me, and most clearly modeled for me how to live the Christian life. The way these men pursued God passionately, loved their wives, trained their children, loved the gospel, sacrificed for others, evangelized, and personally fought their sin was a model that had marked me by that time in 1996. These were the ones who modeled Christ-centered leadership of others for me in the way they teach, counsel, correct, encourage, and equip others to serve God in the church and in their homes. And at this point in my life, the marks of their personal example and personal investment in my life would have been easy to trace out. Then, in 1996, one of the biggest surprises of my life came when I was asked to join the pastoral team of Covenant Life Church. This was such a humbling process because of the respect I have for these men, which has only grown over the last 10 years. For the last 10 years, I have had the amazing privilege to serve alongside and learn from these men. And I can tell you, their private lives are consistent with their public teaching. That only became more obvious to me as I got to know them better. But it's my goal this morning to build a pastoral team that resembles this team and that will live as a compelling example for the church in Frederick, Maryland. My wife, myself, each of my daughters, we owe you men and your wives a debt we could never repay. I can say that for every member of Covenant Life Church who's going to be part of this new church as well. We so respect you. Covenant Life Church, over the past 10 years, I've had the amazing joy of serving you. I've had the amazing joy of teaching you, encouraging you, laughing with you, weeping with you, helping you fight your sin, and telling you the gospel, and sharing it alongside with you to Montgomery County. Let me explain why it's been such a joy to pastor you. Here's why it's such a joy to pastor you. It is a joy to pastor you because of your love for the gospel, your passion for holiness, your eagerness to serve, your living example of passion for God, and the way you value the mission of the gospel over personal comfort and personal advancement. That's obvious by what we're doing here this morning. Listen, your humility, Covenant Life Church, your humility is a biblical model of how to follow leadership and how to partner with the leadership of a local church. You have made a deposit in us and all those going on this plant that is going to bear much fruit for the glory of God. And we hope to reproduce the gospel center community that we've experienced here. What else is so joyful for me today? What's so joyful for me today is I'm not going alone. The kindness of God. It's so humbling to be standing here and looking at you right now. The kindness of God, a significant part of this church who holds these same values, is going with us. We so look forward to building over the next 10 years a gospel-centered community that has built its foundation on the same foundation and values that Covenant Life Church embraces and models. We will work to build this same gospel-centeredness in our teaching and our living for others to benefit from in the years to come. My wife and I have had the gospel preached to us on Sunday mornings from this pulpit over 1,200 times during the last 24 years. We have seen thousands of examples of people living the gospel out. I could not count all of the acts of kindness and encouragement and sacrifice and servanthood and love that we have personally received as a family from you. I feel like I'm leaving here as a spiritual billionaire. This has been the dearest place on earth to us for the last 24 years. And when I walked into that first meeting in 1982, I could never have imagined that I would be standing here saying this to you today. Talk about an unlikely story. But we're going to Frederick filled with faith. We're going to Frederick Because we love the Savior. And we're going to Frederick because there's something better than being comfortable. It's better to sacrifice what's familiar and what's comfortable to see the glory of God as He changes and transforms lives one at a time. And Covenant Life, you have helped to inspire us and prepare us for this day. God is sending us into His field today. You are sending us out to follow His plan today. And we can't wait to come back and report to you all that God has done through your example and your sacrifice. As Kenneth said, next Sunday we will be meeting 40 minutes north of here. But this is not just my mission. I share it with my family and those going with us, and we share it with all of you. This is our mission together. This is not just a sad goodbye. This is a celebration of God's transforming grace and His unstoppable plan. Well done, Covenant Life Church. Please continue to build a gospel-centered community so that your example will inspire your neighbors to the north and many more. Well done. We love you. Thank you for being our model. Thank you for being our partners in mission. Thank you for being our friends.
I do want to just say a few words before we express our appreciation to Chris and Marie and their girls. And we do love you so much. We are so grateful to God for you and your lives. You know, it is a privilege to have pastors who serve in a local church for many years. And this really, coming November is Chris's 10th year on staff, and we are grateful to God for your sacrifice, for your going. But we also are grateful for 10 years of faithful pastoral ministry. So let's, Covenant Life Church, let's thank Chris for not only for going in the faith for going, but also for 10 years of faithful ministry. And this is an expression of thanks from a grateful congregation.
Right now, we're just going to take a little bit of time to minister to the Frederick team through prophetic ministry. Several people have impressions from the Holy Spirit to share with all of you. And I believe Bob told me that he had a prophetic song he wants to share after that. So, Keith.
Isaiah 42:6 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from dungeons those who sit in darkness. And I believe it is on the Lord's heart to say that I'm sending you as a light, a great light to those living in darkness. But oh, how great is the light. Oh, how great is the light of the glory of the gospel, the light of the cross, the light of salvation, and the light of the love of God that I send with you.
As we were worshiping, the parable of the sower was what came to mind. And I believe that the Lord would want to encourage you to not look at the soil and say, oh Lord, but that one's rocky and that one's thorny. I'm not sure. But to focus on the seed, His word, and He, the great sower, will bring a harvest.
As I was praying for you today, I believe the Lord wanted to remind you of two things. The first is that you're not moving into uncharted territory, but you're moving into an area that is part of God's kingdom, where His kingdom has already been established, where He is going to be using you to expand His kingdom into the hearts of those who do not yet know Him. And Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." Frederick belongs to the Lord. And I believe the Lord would also remind you of just who He is. Later on in verse 8 in Psalm 24, He says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory."
I think the Lord wants to encourage those of you this morning who have children, especially those who have small children, because although you are going with such a heart for the lost and to look out to those who are not part of the church, I believe the Lord is just so pleased with the impact this is going to have upon your children, your smaller children. And the verse that came to mind, it's in Deuteronomy 6, where God calls us to love Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And then He goes on in the next verse to say, so teach them diligently to your children. Talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. And as you're going, even though you're looking outward, you're having a huge impact on your children. You're living this verse for them as you give up the comforts of here and move somewhere else so you can serve others. And I think the Lord wants to encourage you that this is going to have a great impact on your children.